Welcome to Words of Light for Today, a teaching ministry that shares godly principles while giving spiritual insight and divine revelation from the Word of God for the everydayness life brings. Be richly blessed as we join Linda Atkins.
Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege where we now stand, and we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. We can rejoice, too, when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance. And endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us, because He has given to us this Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with His love. Okay, so go back to Colossians, chapter 3. And listen how, remember how the one ends and this one begins. Since God chose you, all comes together. Since God chose you to be the holy people He loves, you must clothe yourself with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowances for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. The Amplified Translation says, let peace act as an umpire. Over your hearts. And let peace act as an umpire. Wow. So here's the thing. When you come to an understanding, everything that's listed there in Colossians chapter 3, starting in verse 12, everything that's listed there is a fruit of the Spirit except humility and mercy. Mercy has to transpire before fruit, you know, can ever come to place. As a matter of fact, when mercy first takes place, you don't even realize there is such a fruit. So the thing is that He wants us to understand that His purpose is, His good pleasure is to cause the fruit that is going to remind Him of Christ live in you. But there has to be foundations. So there's foundations of things that are not fruit, and that is humility. Humility is not a fruit. It's a foundation power all its own. Everything that has its own power will produce other things. Humility has its own power. Love has its own power. Faith has its own power. Hope has its own power. Those things, love and faith, are listed as fruit, but it could read like this. It could read, instead of saying love, joy, peace, it could read loveliness. It could read lovingly. It could read, instead of saying faith, it could read faithfulness. A lot of translations do use faithfulness. Because faith itself as a power source is not a fruit. Love itself as a power source is not a fruit. Hope is not a fruit. It does not come. It produces other things, namely character. Namely, you believe God. Though you cannot see it, you know Him. He said to me, he says, you don't have to know what's going to go on. You don't have to know how things are going to happen and in which way they're going to happen. All you have to do is know me. You know me, and you're going to know that it's going to turn out just fine for you. You don't have to know things ahead of time. As a matter of fact, you know, the majority of the time, you won't know that you're okay till you get there. I don't know if I'm okay. I guess I'm okay. I don't know if I'm okay. Well, you won't know that you're okay till you get there. The majority of the time, from here to there, you're not going to know a whole lot. You just have, see, that's where obedience and taking the steps necessary to get from here to there. If He's told you to go from here to there, then the thing to do is to do it. See, we've learned here, you do the next thing. What's the next thing? I need to hear from God. I need to know the next thing. Well, right now, the next thing is I'm going to finish this sermon. That's the next thing. And then after that, what are we going to do? What's the next thing after that? Well, probably you ought to go home. That'd be a good next thing. Well, then what's the next thing? I'd get me something to eat if I was you. Especially if you plan on coming back. So you see, the next thing, always look for the next thing to do. Well, what if it's not spiritual? Well, you're spiritual. Things aren't spiritual. You're spiritual. He's give you these things to make you spiritual, not things spiritual. He's give you Himself, His Son. The watchfulness of angels having charge over you. He's give you grace. He's give you faith. He's give you everything you need. See, grace is not a fruit. It has nothing to do with being a fruit. Grace has its own power. And once grace is used by God, the scripture says that grace is given to us, and that is how we are saved, and that by the grace of God. By faith are you saved, and that not of yourself, but by the grace of God. Well, after that initial work of grace, then He gives you that grace as an additional gift. Now, when you come to an understanding of how these things are working for you personally, then you're going to get along a whole lot better with the way things come in the day. Well, you should have been there when that happened. You should have been there when that. Well, you should have heard that, or you should have seen them do what they. And you know what? People are going to be people. And things are going to happen. And people are going to lie. And they're going to cheat. And they're going to act in pride. But when the things of God that He's listed here, He said, He promises you in Romans chapter 5, starting in verse 1, that there's going to be trials. There's going to be things that's not really good, but if you hold on and keep on moving through it, it'll produce real deep character in you. It'll help you to persevere. A lot of people don't know how to persevere. They just find the nearest doorstep, sit down, and start crying. Or they quit. That didn't go the way they wanted it, so they quit. We don't quit. God don't quit. If he quit on us, where would we be? Lost? Going to hell? Lost? Hoping for next time? Listen, when he brings us to a place where we understand what he's trying to bring into our lives, then we realize that these things are much more powerful, listen, than my failures, or my mess ups, or my mistakes, or my shortcomings, or my agitations. These things here are much more powerful. Knowing that tribulation produces patience. And it's not patience about, you know, with people. It's patience when you don't know which way God's going to go next. Patience is always between you and God, not between you and another person. Patience has nothing to do with you and another person. Perseverance and long-suffering has to do with you and other people. Mm-hmm. See, patience is how we act while we're waiting. How do you act at a red light? How do you act in line at the store? How do you act when somebody cuts in front of you? How do you act when things don't go your way? See, that's what he's trying to produce in you when you're waiting. So, then you look at chapter 5 in Romans, and you see three different times in this chapter that hope's mentioned. We've probably looked at this before, but we need to look at it again. Because if you don't have hope, the power that is in hope, then tomorrow's not going to mean a whole lot to you. I mean, we go to bed saying things like this. Well, I hope to God tomorrow's better than today. Well, I hope to God those people show up. Well, I hope they keep their word. See, you're all time using the word, but you need to use the power that's behind it, because it's so much better than hoping somebody keep their word. Chances are they won't. You got to get a word from God that is true and everlasting, and amen. A word that comes from God, a word of wisdom, word of understanding, that kind of a word brings you to a place where it don't matter what they do, God will keep his word. That's what hope is. Hope, but you see, hope helps you when you can't see any further than your nose. And the glory he's talking about here, he talks about glory. He mentions the word glory three times in this. But it's not the glory of a rebuilt human nature. It's not that kind of a glory. It's not even the glory of angels. It's the glory of God. I'm going to get myself glory of giving you these things to live in your life on a daily basis to help change you from what you are to what I am. And if you become more like me, then others will want to know how. Others will want to see it. Others will see you excuse someone. Not talk about them behind their back. Not find fault with them. And if they do have faults, and we have many, not just them, we have many. If we will allow him, then he'll help us make allowances for those faults. We don't always want to. And there's been times over the years that I've got my mouth in gear before I really thought about the way the Lord would want me to handle something. And so then I would have to go back, number one, repent to him and repent to whoever heard me. Oh, my goodness. You see, the thing of it is, he's trying to bring us to a place through sanctification, through justification, that takes us from here to as far as he needs us to go. Well, how many days will that be? I don't have any idea. And you don't either. But he's got to have people that he can trust to go through hard things. He's got to have people that they understand how humility works. And you see, once you realize that he started the foundation in your life, you're going to get insulted. When humility really begins to take place and harden up as the foundation on everything on which everything else is built, then what's going to happen is you're going to get offended. Your foundation never really hardens without testing. And I'm not talking about a footer dug for humility. I'm talking about a whole foundation, really thick, that can hold the girders of the roof. You hearing? Now, you're not going to get the final okay on your humility slab until it's been tested. It's going to be tested. And once it's tested, and it seems like forever, then he begins to build walls. Walls, 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 walls. Roof. He begins to show us things. After justification, then grace is given every day so that you can have a motivating power that causes you to accomplish everything that day was made for. Maybe I better say that again, because sometimes we feel like we've wasted the whole day. After justification in your life, then he gives us the grace on a daily basis, so that we have the motivation, the motivating power, and the motivation to accomplish everything he wanted done, everything he sent into that day for us. And let me tell you this, with every insult, with everything that anybody could say to you, he depends on you facing it like you should. He counts on you. He depends on you to behave yourself. He depends on you to show forth his good pleasure in you every time. Even when someone just looks for the opportunity to offend. My gracious life. You see, the thing is, he doesn't give us all of this so that we can have our own good pleasure. He gives us all these things, all this power, all this motivation, all of these things he gives to us. He said to me that day that he gave it to us in molecules of grace. Everything I needed was given in a molecule of grace to accomplish his will, not my will for the day. You know, you get up and you want to go one way and want to get this done. You got that to do and you've got this to accomplish. But your whole day gets turned around. And reckon who did that? You. No, you had it all wrote down. You don't want your day turned around. But you see, he'll turn your day around to get his will done. And then teach you, it's not by your will, but my will. I give you these things for my good pleasure, so that I can see that my life reproduced in you creates the right reaction.
Oh, wow.
So you see, you go back over to Romans 5, and you see that this hope, like in verse 2, this hope then motivates rejoicing. Motivates rejoicing. Motivates total rejoicing. Hope does. Well, I haven't seen it yet. Well, you need to rejoice anyway. Because your hope says it's there. It's there. I can't see it, but it's there. And with faith and hope, it will come together. It will come together. You see, these three things abide: faith, hope, and love. The love there is that love that He has for me. If you don't know that He loves you, if you do not have a complete understanding of the fact that He loves you, you won't never be able to hope to full glory. It'll keep you from doing that. Well, I understand that He loves them, and He loves those, and He loves people at the church, and He loves this one and that one. But, you know, I don't know. Well, that love that He has for you and your faith in it has the power to cleanse every bit of that negative energy that's been put in your heart for some reason or another. Well, my parents loved my brothers and sisters more than they did me. You know, if we've got an enemy, he's going to hit us on the family front. Everybody had more, got more praise, got more everything than I did. But I don't think that's always true. Yes, it is. The oldest in the baby always gets. But, you know, those kinds of things he's driving out with that power of love. That power of love, he's trying to refill you with himself. The love with which he loved you. It's the same love that he loved Jesus with. Now, if we can believe that, we say it and we shake our heads, we know that. Sure, that's true. That's true. He loves me so just like he loved Jesus. But you know what? We don't behave like that's true. Because things hurt us. Things take a toll on us. Things get buried deep within us. And I found out over the last years that I've been serving God is that the more mature you get, the harder things are. But it's these things that come against us, these things that come against us in ways that we want to say out our mouth, why? And you know that's not the question. It's not the question. And to a mature man's not going to ask why. He's going to ask how, when, and move forward. When things happened to me, death, things in death, I thought, God, I can see this. I understand this. I see why this has come. But, you know, it was not my job to be okay myself, but my job was to gather others. That's what he wanted me to do, and sometimes people just don't want to be gathered. Well, if this was your kid, or if this was your mother, or if this was your daddy, or if this was your son, or if this was that, you know, you wouldn't be feeling that way. Oh, yes, I would, because I've already been there and done that. So you know what? He brings us to a place where when you look at the fear and the trembling, what he's after us is for us to have deep respect Fear and trembling is not being afraid of Him, but you just respect Him. You have an understanding of His almightiness. And you come to a place where, you know, you have a healthy concern for the uncertainties of things. Do you always know what's going to happen? No, I don't always know what's going to happen, but I know this. I've learned this. Keep moving. Keep putting your foot ahead of the other. Well, what are you going to do now? I'm going to go to bed, and I'm going to sleep. And then if I wake up, I'm going to do what's next. Now, when you do it like that, He is more than obliging to tell you when you're getting loose. Can you understand that? He's going to show you things, but you're not always going to know the answer. Things are going to come, and you won't always know why. This living faith that He has given to us, this power source of faith. Faith is a law. You see, anything that has its own power has a law to it. Love has a law. Hope has a law. Grace has a law. Faith has a law. So this it produces within you what you're supposed, what He expects you to become. It produces in you what He's already said that you will become. Here's what has to happen. There has to be this. There has to be overcoming, changing, and growing every day. No growth, no overcoming, no change. People can't see growing, changing, and overcoming in you. No faith has taken place.
You have been watching Words of Light for Today with Linda Adkins. For prayer or a free CD of today's message, please call 904-289-9727. Visit our website at wordsoflight.org, where you may order explosive and anointed teaching messages or other great resources from our bookstore. Be blessed and join Linda Adkins next time as she brings Words of Light for Today.